All right, Emmanuel, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. I read chapter 2 a little bit, or at least the first 10 verses of that. So this morning, it's Father's Day. I just want to first say, by being a father for a little bit already, I'm amazed at how good our Father is, because I compare that in contrast to how I am, and I'm just so thankful for a good and perfect and holy Heavenly Father. Are we not thankful for that? And so even though this is directed, it's actually going to be for kids too. It's going to be directed to kids and fathers. Please don't check out if you're not in that category this morning. At the very least, just worship God for being a perfect and holy Heavenly Father. And again, we're gonna sort of come back to the gospel at the end, because that is the foundation for everything. And the gospel is definitely not limited to just certain kinds of people. It's for everyone. My plea this morning is that you would join me, because I am not at all in any way, shape, or form standing up here saying I got the foot up on perfect parenting. Okay, so that's not where this is coming from. This is, if anything, the other way. It's like, would you just help me look at the scripture and the simplicity of God's instruction together this morning? Because we need to, together as a church family, parent our kids in godly and holy ways, right? And so it's more of a plea. God, would you help me? Emmanuel family, we need help together to walk this thing called parenthood, and specifically fatherhood, this morning together. And Paul gives some very precise instructions. We're gonna get to that in a minute. This past Wednesday, like I mentioned, we had our grad dinner, and there was about 70 people, grads and family and friends, in the gym, and we had steak, and it was just wonderful. And part of that night is we had these little sheets that were little quizzes. How well do you know your grad? And so some of the kids filled them out, some of the parents filled them out, some of the friends of the students graduating filled them out, and that's where things went a little bit south, because they just wrote wrong answers on purpose. You're laughing, Amy. You were part of that. Not the wrong answers. You give the good answers, the right ones. The son-in-law had all the on-purpose wrong answers. But one of the questions kind of halfway down was, what is the grad's favorite superhero? And so we had all sorts of things from DC and Marvel. And then two of them specifically, their friends wrote mom or dad, and everyone had a really good laugh about it. Like, haha, I'm not really. When I went, that's funny, but actually it's totally appropriate if growing up your parents are your heroes. I think that's actually a good thing, right? More importantly, if they are God-honoring people who fear the Lord and who are living in a holy way. If they're your heroes of faith and how to do life, that's a good thing. I think it's actually designed by God that that's how our kids ought to look at us. And I think that's why it's also important to take scriptures like this very seriously, because it's super easy to get it wrong. And again, this is coming from the stance of, I often get it wrong. And that's my confession to you this morning, is I need help with this. I'm preaching this to myself this morning. So here's a little bit of an outline of where we're going. I went a touch long in the first, so we'll see how we do here. There's a couple main sections within these four verses. One is for kids and one is for fathers. Okay, not exclusively fathers, it's for parents, but specifically in this section is for fathers. And so we're going to look at that, and then we're going to come back to chapter 2 at the end and see how the gospel kind of ties it all together. And so what we see here is this is coupled with husband and wife relationships and just whole house in general. This is how we operate as a house who wants to honor the Lord. Okay, so we need to realize first and foremost that Paul's instruction here for parents is laid on the foundation of the gospel. He spends the whole first half of this letter unpacking what God has done through Jesus and who we become through what he has done. So let's read together these first four verses. Children, and again, there's not a lot of children in the room because we all let them go downstairs, but there are some teenagers. This still applies to you. And again, this is just in general. It's not specifically for kids, but it's like if you're a child of God, right? This was, and we're going to get here in a minute in the Old Testament. We're going to go and we're going to look at God's instruction to Moses and to his people. This is for the nation of Israel. This is for God's people. Yes, specifically kids, and also for everyone. So children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You think that maybe if Paul wanted to give us a section on parenting, it might be a little bit longer, right? It's super short, isn't it? We're going to come back to this in a second, but I want us to think about this. He's not giving us the exact, this is how you do it, these are the tips, these are the parenting styles. He's giving us a foundation. If you parent under this sort of umbrella of being a parent who doesn't provoke your child, who brings them up and who instructs them and disciplines them in the Lord, that's important, in the Lord, then that is the way that you're going to do things in a God-honoring way. And we'll unpack that a little bit. But the first message here is for children, right? Again, at least for the ones who are in the room. It's a message for kids, but it's also a message for all of us to have a bigger picture of what's being asked of God's people. So again, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it will go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So in Exodus 20, in verse 12, in that whole passage of scripture, we see this wonderful interaction with God and Moses and just the instruction and the giving of his law and the commandments. And he comes to his people, and this is one of those things. Children, honor your mother and your father. Obey them in the Lord, for this is right. And this tagged on with this promise. Now imagine the people of God sitting there receiving this instruction. Now, if you're in the crowd, kind of like this, and you're like a 7-year-old girl or a 10-year-old boy, and you hear this, the fact is that the literal part of receiving that land, that's not going to come true or come to fruition for like another 40 plus years, right? So it's interesting to see how this is the instruction, do this and it will, right? And so yes, it is specifically for those kids, and God does. We know God gives them a land. It's quite a journey to get there because the nation of Israel obeys God and doesn't obey God, and it's this back and forth and it's this pendulum swing. But ultimately, that promise comes true. But even more than that, and like we see all through the law and all through the God of the Old Testament and the New, God is after what? He's after our hearts. He's after our obedience in general. He's after us to live in a way that is honoring to him, glorifying to him, and obedience of him. And so it's this bigger call to the people of God. So it's like, hey, kids, live in this way. Parents, live in this way. And in general, if my people, this is God, if my people live in this way, it will go well for you, whether it's in that land or just in general, moving on forward. And so that's just the simple instruction to the kids. When you obey your parents in the Lord, it's going to go well for you. Okay? It's going to go well for you. And listen, this is, we need to recognize, this is not a, I'm not talking about salvation here. Okay, it's not, hey, kids, obey your parents really well and you'll be saved, right? That's not the promise. The promise is a rewarding of obedience, not a rewarding of for salvation, right? Again, back in chapter 2, Paul says very specifically, this is not your own doing, right? You are saved by grace through faith. It's not by works so that you don't boast, right? And then he carries on. He says, for you were God's workmanship, and you are created for those good works. So it's because of who we are in Christ that we desire to even work those good works for the Lord. And kids, those good works are obeying your parents. Fathers, those good works in part are parenting your kids in a way that is honoring to the Lord. So Israel, okay, be a people that follow me, all the way down to how you run the house. And same for us, same if you're sitting here this morning and you're a believer and you trusted the Lord as Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you're a child of God, and this is the call on your life. And this is really anti-society right now, isn't it? Like, you look at our culture and it's totally flipped around. It's like all the rights have been given to the kids and all of the parenting and say and control has been taken away from the parents. And we just see just this dog's breakfast of a culture that's just like, it's all over the place. Like, kids get to make all the decisions, even to like whether they want to be a boy or girl or something else. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous. And that is the culture we're living in. And so this is so important to take these words, seriously and to say, hey, we're going to bring up our children in a way that is in the character of God and not the character of our society and our culture, right? He's calling us to live radically different from that. So back to the top, there's this little phrase that says, in the Lord. What does this mean? I think it means that we are shaped by who God is. So fathers need to be showing their families what it means to be in the Lord. Know the character of God. Know what he has done, right? He has saved us. He's made us right. He gives us his holiness. He has allowed us access to God, right? He is the one who has done that. So that is how children obey. If our instruction is righteous, then the obedience can be righteous. Now on that, I've had students throughout the years of doing youth men, they've come to me and they come from non-Christian homes, right? And we've had a handful of these kids come and say, hey, Tyler, I really want to get baptized. The Lord has done a great work in my life. I recognize the power of his salvation. And I see in scripture that I need to get baptized. I need to obey in that way. And they've said, I've had this little conversation. I also see in scripture that it says to honor your mother and your father. What do I do? Now, this is coming off the coattails of a conversation they had with mom or dad or both, where they don't like Christians, they don't like church. And so Billy or Sue, I don't know why we use those old school names, they come home and they have this experience, whether it's coming out of camp or youth or something, and they express to mom and dad they want to get baptized, and they're totally shut down, right? No, it's not happening. What do these kids do? And so we've wrestled through these passages together. And ultimately, what's happening is here is God is instructing holy parenting, right? Parenting that's within his character. And so if the instruction is outside of that, we have to look first to God's instruction. And so there have been a few cases, not a lot, but maybe over the last decade, like two or three, where a kid has, you know what, they've decided to get baptized because it's what the Lord wanted from them, right? And it's this interesting thing. But it kind of points me to the fact that the way that we instruct is important, right? If it's just us and what we don't want or do want, or just because of my framework as Tyler and my likes and dislikes, and my kids aren't operating in that, well, that's not what God's calling me to. He's calling me to instruct our kids in his character and the framework of who he is. And so we won't have to make our kids make those decisions if our instruction is in the Lord. And there's another phrase there, for this is right. And I love the simplicity of this. A lot of the most great and pure and beautiful instructions in scripture are simple. They're really hard to live out, but they're often very simple. For this is right. It's right. Why is it right? It's right because it's God, right? It fits in his design. There's a simplicity. And I think that this instruction for kids is because kids need just straightforward sometimes, right? Right? And they don't always need to know why. It's like, hey, Eli or Nora or Mia, you need to obey. Why? Because it's right. And it's not right because I say it's right. It's right because God says it's right. Right? It's that simple call. And it's the same for us, right? Why do we obey the Lord? Because he is righteous. Because he is good. Because he is the one who has saved us. And it's right. So, God rewards us obedience. So kids, that was sort of like the mini message for you. And on the coattails of that, we're moving into fathers now. So instruction and encouragement for fathers. Verse four. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Don't provoke your kids to anger. Bring them up in the instruction and discipline of the Lord. Again, children in the Lord, fathers of the Lord. It's that same structure and that same idea. So why fathers? Why are fathers only being addressed? And I'm going to go here for a minute. You can talk to me afterwards if you disagree. I think there's two things happening. One, it isn't just exclusively fathers, because the instruction for kids just before that was to obey who? Children obey your fathers, or children obey your parents? Right? So mom is absolutely involved in this. But just before this, Paul unpacks just the godly structure of the home. And what he's saying is it's it's for both, but right now I'm just speaking to dads as they're gonna lead the household in this way, right? Dads, you have to step up. You have to come ready to work, ready to lead, graciously, firmly, lovingly, but with truth. And so this is for primarily for the fathers here. I heard it in a little podcast this week, which I thought was kind of interesting because it convicted me immediately. But the guy speaking on this podcast said, dads should not be couch potatoes. You laugh. I've been a couch potato before, right? They shouldn't be couch potatoes sitting around waiting for their wife to come up with how to discipline and instruct their kids. They need to be the ones taking the charge. And so that's just a pretty hard, convicting thing to say. And again, I am not like exhorting you guys saying that I got the hold on this. I'm saying, would you join me in this? Because we've all failed. We need to be reminded to not just be lazy husbands and lazy fathers. We need to step up. We need to figure it out for our families. We need to be the ones who are taking charge in this. And quite often, the wives can be better at disciplining, but you still have to take this role and you have to come alongside of her and say, okay, how are we gonna do this together? And I believe at the end of the day, if the Lord comes knocking and there's a problem in the home and the Lord comes knocking, he's asking for the man of the house. I firmly believe that. And so guys, we gotta step up there. Now, enough of kind of beating us over the head, because it's true, but the Lord offers so much grace and offers himself to help us. So fathers, what is being asked of you? There is one warning, there's one sort of don't, and then there's three do's. So one warning and then three things that he says, you need to do this. So the first thing is this warning, don't provoke your children to anger. What does that mean? Because I think I've probably done that, if I could be honest with you. I think I've probably parented, not probably, I have, right? We've parented in a way that we frustrate our kids because the way we're doing it is out of frustration or anger, right? I always do this. People in the room, like Gord, who are really good at Greek, you're not like a Greek scholar, but you're pretty good, eh? I always do this, but I'm gonna just show you three words. I'm not even gonna pronounce them in Greek because someone came up to me afterwards like, it's actually pronounced this way. It's like, yeah, I'm sure it is. But this word provoke, okay, it means this, and Paul uses this on purpose, to be angry as expressing a fixed anger, or this sort of settled position, right? It's positive when inspired by God and always negative when arising from the flesh, and that's what Paul's talking about here. It's sinful, it's unnecessary anger that focuses on punishing the offender rather than the moral content of the offense, right? Paul is saying, don't get angry at your children unrighteously, right? Don't yell at them, which I go, okay, well, I'm a really loud guy. How do I know the difference between me trying, you're laughing, come on. How do I know the difference between me yelling across the yard for my kids to come in for supper three or four times to now I'm just getting angry? Well, I want to let you in on a little secret. I know exactly when I cross the line. We do. We know. And not just this sin issue, but all sin issues. We know in our heart, if we have the Spirit of God living in us, we know when we cross the line into sin. And so the call here is don't parent in that way. Do it in a God-honoring way. And again, not just for parents, for all of us. Don't live in a way that is living, toeing the line, living close to that. Like, I think if I do it in this way, I'm going to sin. We don't need to, right? We have the Lord to help us with that. And what is the opposite of anger? It's joy, right? God wants joyful kids. He wants joyful kids. And we should want our children to have joy. We want our home to be a home filled with joy, right? That's what God wants for us. He ultimately gives it to us through salvation. And so many other ways daily he blesses us with that joy. So that's the warning, okay? Dads, don't provoke your kids to anger. Don't get them in this sort of, like, this sort of deep-seated anger, this angry disposition where you've done so much yelling at them and so much parenting that is kind of toeing the line and crossing into to like sinful selfishness that they've just become disengaged and maybe even angry towards you. That's not a good place to be. Here's the do's. There's three of them. Number one, bring them up. Raise them up. Get them ready to not need us. I don't know if we knew this, but part of our job as parents is to get them ready for the one day, just like these grads. Okay, Alicia, you're sitting here. You're the only one that stood this morning, so now I'm just preaching to you for a second, right? If mom and dad did a good job, which I know they did, you're going away now this summer and this fall, and you're going to go on your own, and you're not going to need them as much, right? Because they've instructed you and hopefully disciplined you. I don't know. In the Lord, right? And so part of it is like, hey, we want our kids to be able to go off and into the world and to be so in love with Jesus and so in awe of who God is and understand their desperation for him that they're leaning into Jesus on their own without our help, right? That's the end goal, is to train them in this way. So we raise them up in the Lord. There's that expression, who is God, right? Who is God? Who is Jesus? What has he done? What is his nature? What is his design for us? And I'll add this, fellas, in order to raise them up, we need to be present. We need to actually be there. And I don't mean you can't have any more hobbies and you can't work out of town. That's not what I'm saying. Some of us have jobs that they just need us to go work up north for a while so that you can provide, or you need to be busy for a season so that you can provide. And that's fine, because we're called to provide for our families. But I think what's being said here and what I'm challenged with is that you need to be a present figure in the home, right? When you are present, are you actually there? Or are we that couch potato sort of version I talked about before, where we're just sitting there, we're on our phone, we're disengaged, right? Are you a present father? Because you cannot walk alongside of your kids and bring them up in the Lord if you're not physically, literally there with them to do that and engaged mentally and spiritually. You need to be there. Listening to another podcast, as you can tell, maybe I listen to a lot of podcasts. I was listening to another one, had nothing to do with the Lord, just basketball, okay? Probably 20, 30 years ago, if I said the name Michael Jordan, everybody in the room, even if you didn't like basketball, would understand what I'm talking about. Nowadays, you say the name LeBron James, it might have less of effect, it should. Less of effect, but it's still sort of the same thing. So LeBron, he's sitting there in this interview with a fellow basketball player who is now retired, and they're talking about the game. And they're talking about what does it mean to be elite, or what does it take to be elite? And LeBron responds, like the question was asked to him, what is discipline? And he says, discipline is sacrificing your loved ones. And I went, no, it's not. That's ridiculous. This is one of the greatest basketball players, highest basketball players in the world, highest paid. This is his version of what it takes to be elite, is you have to sacrifice loved ones. And guess what? They do. And then they swap stories about how they would either miss really big momentous events in their kids' lives, and that kind of sucked. Well, yeah, obviously. Or even when they were at birthday dinners, they were disengaged because they were thinking about their assignment in the playoffs or the next game. That is not, sorry, basketball fans, if I destroyed your love for these players, that is not God's design. He wants us to be present. He wants us to be active. He wants us to be involved. So there's these two more instructions. Okay, so bring them up in the Lord, and then discipline and instruct. So discipline, again, the word here that's used is to train children, to chasten them, to correct, to educate, to train. It says this, a child under development with strict training, properly to train up a child so they mature and realize their full potential or development. This requires necessary discipline and training, which includes administering chastisement or punishment. We are indeed instructed, Emmanuel, to discipline our children. Right? We are. Like, we need to do that. But sometimes I think two things can happen. One, we either over-discipline or we under-discipline. And you can just take a minute and think about your own life. Like, what do I do? Because we all kind of tend to lean one way, right? I think both of these to the extreme can cause issues with our kids, right? If there's this sort of over-disciplining, and again, we're doing it to the point where it's maybe even more about our rules and we're stepping into like the anger zone, it's going to create this sort of resentment in our kids, or this discouragement, as it says in Colossians. And if we under-discipline, they just become entitled, right? It's like we don't provide any discipline in the home and we just let them go free. They're not going to be able to grow up to learn who the Lord is and to learn to love, to follow him. And so sometimes we just need to guard against both these things. And if you look at the root of this, like, why do we do these things? I think we do one because we like want approval from our kids. We want them to like us. Or we do the other. Maybe we over-discipline because we can't bear thinking of them being unsuccessful or imperfect. And we just want the best for them. So that pushes us over the edge in how we interact with them. And that's also wrong. And I was going to read all of like a big chunk of Hebrews 12, but I want to give it to you as homework, okay? Because it talks about just the discipline of the Lord being a good thing. He disciplines those he loves, right? He disciplines those he loves, and he treats us as sons. And it even says in here, we wouldn't be considered sons if he didn't discipline us. And so this is a beautiful thing, right? We look at what it means to discipline. The ultimate example is God and how he interacts with his people. And it comes out of a place of love, and it comes out of a place of grace and mercy, and justly who he is in his righteousness. And so I want you, honestly, today or tomorrow, to get with your Bible, either by yourself or with your family, and read through Hebrews 12, because the instruction there is awesome. And it's calling us to firm, loving holiness. So this third instruction is instruction, right? So we bring up and we discipline and we thirdly instruct. And so what does this word mean? Paul uses this word in this way. It's this sort of warning or counsel, especially appeals to the mind, supplying doctrinal and spiritual substance. This exerts positive pressure. Catch that. It's not no pressure. It's pressure, but it's positive pressure on our kids, right? Positively showing them what? Urging them to choose God's best. Right? That's what we want for our kids, is we want their best. And what is their best? It's what God has for them. It's that they are walking with the Lord. And so that's the exhortation for us as fathers from Paul, is that we need to exert positive pressure on our kids, urging them to be able to choose God for themselves one day. And I know many of you sitting in this room have been blessed by seeing that come, that fruit come to ripen, and those kids just grasping onto the gospel, grasping onto who God is. In Titus, the word is also used, but it's translated as warning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it's translated as instruction. And so it's both, right? It's this warning instruction. Okay, we warn our kids and we instruct our kids. We warn them against sin and getting entangled in that, and in not walking with Jesus, the effects that sin can have, and we instruct them in the ways of the Lord, giving all the necessary truth to live a God-centered and God-honoring life. So let's look at Psalm 103 together. You can turn there if you want. It's just short. I'm just going to read verses 13 and 14. And again, this is a picture of how God interacts with his kids. And I think we can totally take from this. So Psalm 103, as a father shows compassion to his children. So what are we supposed to show to our children? Compassion. So the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. And if we were at family camp this past weekend, Todd did a good job of unpacking the fear of the Lord a little bit. And he said, it's kind of like, what are you in awe of? Right? God is calling us to be in fear of the Lord and nothing else. Be in awe of the Lord, not in awe of your problems, not in awe of the distractions of this world. And when we do that, God has compassion on us. So we see the first thing there, we need to have compassion on our children just as the Lord does. And then verse 14, this is awesome. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. God knows our frame. He knows exactly who we are because he made us. Now, we don't have the privilege of knowing our kids that well because we're not God, but we know them better than anybody else, right? We know our kids. We know what makes them tick, and we know what makes them get ticked off, right? We know our kids. And so let's understand our kids and work with that in a God-honoring way to be able to constructively help them see the glory of who Jesus is. Now, I want to just elaborate for a second on different parenting styles. Again, nowhere in this text is Paul actually saying, this is the exact style that you should be parenting your kids. What he gives us is a framework. Because I think that there's arguably lots of different styles. I know lots of you in this room have different styles of parenting, and I would say that all of those can fall under the umbrella or framework of what's given here in Ephesians chapter 6. In the not provoking, in the bringing up, in the discipline, and the instruction. There's lots of things that fit under that. But those are those four things that Paul is saying, if you don't do these, something's gonna fail. If you do these four things well, then you're gonna have a house that grows up to love and honor Jesus. So, we're not gonna argue parenting styles because my style is probably different than yours. And I am honestly a little bit louder than you, probably. And that's just the way God made me. I need to learn that the loudness shouldn't turn into anger, especially for my neighbor's sake. So here are some tools as we kind of wrap things up here, Emmanuel. This is some tools on how and some of the foundation. And before we get back to Ephesians 2, like I promised, we're going to look at Deuteronomy. This is that classic Deuteronomy 6. We have the family up here doing the child dedication, and we ask them, what scripture do you want read? 9 times out of 10, it's, could you just read Deuteronomy 6? And there's a reason for that, because it's beautiful instruction of how to fear the Lord and how to, this is actually some how-to tips now, of how to bring your kids up in that. Hear, O Israel, again, it's this is for everybody who is, well, it's specifically for Israel, and now it's for anyone who calls Jesus Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Okay, so that's some truth about who God is, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. So there is your instruction. And Jesus says in his interactions in the New Testament that alongside with loving, or alongside with loving your neighbor, is the most important thing you can do. And that's the most important instruction from the Lord, is to love others and to love him with everything you've got. Verse 6, these commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Impress the truths of who God is on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you are walking along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. And it goes on to talk about, you know, putting it on your doorpost. It's like literally having scripture in your home visible for your kids to see. And actually being intentional and purposeful with having God-centered, gospel-focused conversations with your kids every day. Not every other day, not once a week, it's every day. And again, I'm not coming here from like I'm the leading role in this. It's like, hey, I don't do this every day. We need to walk together in this. We need to come to this, be convicted by this, and obey the Lord, fathers. Obey the Lord and saying, you know what? I'm gonna do better at this. Because I have the strength of the Lord to do it, we're gonna start talking about Jesus regularly. I guarantee if your kids grow up in a house that Jesus has talked about positively regularly, they're gonna grow up to have a beautiful picture of Jesus, right? It's proven here in God's word, and it's instructed for us. So now let's go back to Paul's letter and look at chapter 2. I read it before, I'm gonna read it again. It's two sections here. This is who we were. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. You are by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. This is who we were pre-Jesus, right? Without Christ, that's it. And that's not good. Right? There's even a warning in here. Right? This is who we were. But verse 4 is so awesome, isn't it? But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. And Emmanuel, this is not just for us now, this is in the coming ages, right? There's this promise of this future with God that he's inviting us into this, into his presence, right? Into the riches of his grace and the kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. That is a beautiful promise to cling to. Verse 8, for by grace you've been saved through faith, And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Fathers, get familiar with that text. Make sure your kids are familiar with that text. Because that's the ticket, is it not? Like, that's the gospel right there explained in 10 verses. If your kids fall in love with the beauty of what that is, they're going to do well, right? In the land, or however you want to say that as it's instructed. So here's a summary, right? For fathers, mothers, kids, grandparents, singles, dating, anyone, the gospel is the ticket to understanding how to do life. Is it not? It's all about the gospel. That's why we're here every Sunday morning. Fathers, this is a summary for you. There is 7 things. Okay, I have 7 things for us, and then I want to close with something for all of us. So fathers, be a father who meets your kids' needs. Be trustworthy and bring them up and be present while you're bringing them up. Okay, this is instruction 1 for us. Number 2, get a spiritual and moral vision for your family, right? That's that whole being in the Lord. What does it look like for your family to be a family who is in the Lord? You need to get to work in scripture and you need to look at what God is calling us for. We need to look at the nature of God and how he designed things. And we need to say, we're gonna come into alignment with that, okay? So bring them up, get that spiritual and moral vision for your family, figure out what God is calling you to do, be firm in discipline and be gracious in discipline, okay? Not just one or the other, be both. Be firm in your discipline and be gracious in your discipline. Give God-centered instruction, okay? Give God-centered instruction. Know their frame. Right? That is so beautiful. God knows us so intimately. Know your kids intimately. Know their limits. Know their delights. 2 more things. Aim at holiness. And lastly, aim at joy. Okay, that's our instruction that we can find from this text this morning. Now, maybe you're sitting here today and your time of parenting young kids is long gone. Okay, you're sitting here and maybe you're sitting in a little bit of regret. Right? I'm sure in a room this size, there's some of us, but we have some regrets from how we brought up our kids. I have 2 things to say to you, okay? Brother, sister, 1, it is never too late to say you're sorry. It's never, ever. I just saw a mom look at her kids. Were you just saying you're sorry? It's never too late to apologize. That's what's at the heart of the gospel is reconciliation. It's never too late for that. Maybe it's, hey, it's Father's Day. It's a good time to do it. Maybe it's that, maybe a little bit of an awkward conversation to your 40-year-old son. It's like, hey, I got some things wrong. Can we talk about this? Maybe it's your young adult, 18, 19, 23. They don't come around as much because maybe things in the last few years at home weren't so good. I don't have anybody in mind. I'm just saying it's very, very possible that this is maybe some of the stories that some of us are living. It's not too late to reconcile. And listen, this goes beyond just parenting. Like anybody in this room who has had a relationship broken in the last few years, it's time to come together and to reconcile that relationship because it's what God calls us to. And the second thing on that, if that is you this morning, is that we need to live in the freedom of the gospel. Right? The freedom of the gospel allows us to find our identity in Jesus, not our identity in how well of a parent we are or were, or how bad of a parent we are or were. Right? That's not where our identity comes from. Our identity comes from the gospel. It comes from who Jesus has, that he saved us, and from who Jesus says we are. And so the Lord, the God, the Father, looks at us through the lens of Christ and he sees the holiness of his son and not the brokenness and sinfulness of us. And so that's where our identity comes from. Some of you are in the thick of it right now, right? Some of you are like my season of life and you got little ones. Make apology a common thing in your house, right? You need to make apologizing to your spouse and to your kids a common thing. Like, I don't even think there's such a thing as overdoing it. There's just not. right? I know people who are even like close to me is like, yeah, I grew up with a dad who never said sorry. Like, you know what that does to you? Like that's harsh stuff. Need to be people who are quick to ask for forgiveness and on the flip side, quick to forgive. Now, for those of you who are either kids yourself or young adults or aren't parents yet, or someone who never had kids, our hope this morning is that you could be someone who is in the Lord. What does it mean to be in the Lord? You gotta know who he is, know his nature, know his desire for you, and that is for you to be his child. And so ask yourself, maybe you're sitting here, are you saved? You need to start there. Are you saved this morning? Have you received the salvation of Christ through his sacrificial, just pouring of his blood and the breaking of his body on the cross? Right? Are you saved? Have you received that? Have you received new life through his resurrection? And if so, are you living as someone who is in the Lord? Right? That's a challenge for all of us. Are we following his instructions? Do our daily decisions, all of us now, are our daily decisions formed by who God is or by our desires? And so I just love this four verse text. It's so simple, but honestly, there's some convicting stuff in there because I will be the first to admit, I've already done so a few times this morning, I do not do any of these perfectly and I need the Lord's gracious help every single day. And so I'm asking us together, Emmanuel, Father, specifically for you, be a father who is Ephesians 6 father. And for all of us, we need to be people who are in the Lord. So let's pray together. God, I just thank you that you just give us such basic instruction. I thank you for our kids. I thank you for our fathers and for our mothers. And Lord, all who are in this room this morning, we just want to come to you and we want to recognize, Lord, that we desperately need your help every step of the way. And help us to live this out well this week. Help us to take the words found in Ephesians and in Deuteronomy and in Exodus, Lord, and all these places we looked at this morning. We just ask that we would take these words seriously and that we would apply them to our life, and we just ask for your help in this, God. We thank you so much for your great love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, have a great week, and we will see you next Sunday.